Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, we're talking about islands. Now, just the word island can conjure up the image of paradise. Palm trees, the beach, beautiful tropical weather. But there's a flip side, isolation and everything it brings with it. This dual nature can create a unique kind of tension, a tension that can be found on the island of Hispaniola. Hispaniola is an island just east of Cuba, and it's divided in two. On the west side, there's Haiti, and on the east, there's the Dominican Republic. Last year, a ruling by the DR's highest court made thousands of people living in the Dominican Republic, most of them of Haitian descent, effectively stateless, lost on the island. Latino USA producer Antonia Cerejido reports on the long history of strife between the Dominican Republic and Haiti and what's happening now on the island.
On a Sunday afternoon, Joendy Sepin and his dad, Wilfredo Sepin, hang out together at Venus Restaurant, a Haitian place in Prospect Lefferts Gardens in Brooklyn.
I feel more Haitian than Dominican.
That's Joendy. His dad, Wilfredo, is Dominican. But since he grew up in Haiti and has a Haitian mom, well, let's just say he has a lot of Haitian pride.
Yo le dije que los haitianos son más inteligentes que los dominicanos. Because when we came to other country, we learned.
Joendy is telling his dad that Haitians are smarter, but Wilfredo replies, just keep talking.
Did you ever visit the Dominican Republic?
Yes, I've been, yes. Yeah. Every vacation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what do you think of it?
It's nice over there.
Wilfredo was beaming while Joendy talked to me. He proudly told me that his son speaks four languages, French, Creole, English, and Spanish. But the Dominican-Haitian love might just stay in the family. Joendy says that the Dominican news outlets promote negative stereotypes about the Haitians.
Recent news, the Haitian people is bad. You know, the Haitian people have the voodoo thing.
The Dominican-Haitian feud makes for fun banter between Joendy and Wilfredo. But the history of the relationship between the two nations is no joke. To truly understand how deep these roots go, we need to go back. Way back. To the late 1700s, when Haiti fought the first successful slave revolution. Haiti gained independence from France while the Dominican Republic to the east continued to be governed by the Spanish crown. Almost two decades after gaining independence, Haitian President Jean-Pierre Boyer began his campaign to unite the island and defeated the Spanish crown in 1821. For 22 years, the island of Hispaniola was one nation, the Republic of Spanish Haiti. But then the Dominicans rebelled against the Haitians to gain independence. In fact, when the Dominican Republic celebrates their independence on February 27th, they are celebrating their independence from Haiti. They are the only Latin American country to celebrate independence from another country in the region. And over the next century, things between the nations didn't necessarily get easier.
Estimates go from 4,000 to upwards of 20,000 Haitians and Dominicans of Haitian descent in the Dominican Republic were murdered.
Julia Alvarez is a Dominican writer and professor at Middlebury College in Vermont. She is referring to a 1937 massacre, which is still denied by many in the Dominican Republic. Some know it as the Parsley Massacre. Here's how the rumor goes. The president at the time, Rafael Trujillo, had ordered anyone who said the word perejil, or parsley in Spanish, with a French-sounding R, to be killed.
When I was a little kid, I was taught that the Haitians were, you know, this enemy next door, that, you know, if I didn't eat my supper or go to bed, the Haitian cuckoo would come and take me away to Haiti, where they ate little Dominican kids.
Once Julia was an adult, she learned more about the actual history of both countries. And on the 75th anniversary of the massacre in 2012, Julia joined efforts with some colleagues to remember what happened.
We had a procession. We had a service. The people in the border town joined us on the border. We lit up the border with lights.
Julia says that hundreds of people from both sides of the border brought candles to honor the sad history. And they're still doing it every year. Yet their political relationship continues to be strained. Last year, in 2013, a court ruling made it so that anywhere from 24,000 to 200,000 people of Haitian descent who were born and grew up in the Dominican Republic were ineligible for citizenship.
Well, it's really complicated.
That's Aline Gastal. She's a freelance journalist who covered this court ruling. The woman who was at the heart of this case applied for a national ID card. She was denied on the grounds that her parents were considered irregular parents. They were irregular because of this technicality in which they were deemed, quote, in transit.
The general kind of legal understanding of what in transit means, it means you're, you know, you took a flight in and you're flying out or something like that and you happen to have your baby.
The Dominican courts defined in transit differently.
They kind of determined that anybody who was there kind of without documentation or had overstayed their visas or anything besides having all their paperwork in line was considered in transit. And this applied especially to a lot of farm workers who had come over on temporary work visas to work in the sugarcane fields. And a lot of those were at kind of the invitation of the Dominican state.
Most of these laborers in the sugarcane fields were Haitians who had crossed the border legally at the request of the Haitian state. Another aspect of this case that made this whole situation complicated is that the documentation in the DR is kind of a mess.
The birth certificate means something a little bit different in the Dominican Republic. It's something that you need to do a lot of things that you don't need it for here, like going to college. You would need your birth certificate to participate in a whole bunch of state kind of services. And so it's something that people need a lot, but it's not something that you necessarily get immediately when you're born.
One such person who did not get her birth certificate at birth is Daisy Toussaint.
Pero antes era muy común que los padres declararan a los hijos tardío. O sea, lo declararan con 2 o 3 años porque tienen que entrar al colegio.
Daisy explains how it was common practice for children not to get their birth certificate until they were old enough to enter school. She was born to a Dominican father and a Haitian mother, and since her father traveled a lot, when it came time for her to get her birth certificate, her mom ended up giving her her maiden name, Toussaint, a very common Haitian last name. But even before Daisy's last name ended up getting her into trouble years later, a bizarre childhood experience foreshadowed her strange relationship with the state and her status.
Cuando yo tenía un año y medio, mi escuálido cuerpecito se comenzó.
When I was 1.5 years old, my fragile body began to balloon for some unknown reason.
Decidieron internarme, pero no, mis venas no aparecían.
They decided to hospitalize me, but they couldn't find my veins.
Tuvieron que ponerme todos los sueros e inyecciones en la
cabeza. They had to give me the IV and all the shots into my head.
Bueno, y me dio un infarto, si se puede decir así, un paro cardíaco.
Well, I had a heart attack.
The doctors declared Daisy dead.
Como yo no tenía yo no estaba declarada ser hija de.
Since I didn't have a birth certificate and was the daughter of poor people,
fue un poco difícil.
It was difficult to sign off on getting the body removed from the hospital.
But her mother was finally able to take what they believed was Daisy's body out of the hospital, and a wake was planned for that very day.
Habían puesto una ambulancia que me trasladaran desde el hospital hasta mi casa.
They had commissioned an ambulance to take me from the hospital to my home, and that same ambulance was going to take me from my home to the cemetery.
Entonces, de todo el velorio, toda la gente que estaba ahí,
the only person in the entire wake that sees me open my eyes is my mother.
Ella me saca del ataúd y empieza a correr.
She grabs me out of the coffin and begins to run.
Pero me llevan justo al hospital donde.
She ends up taking me back to the hospital where I'm declared not dead.
Y bueno, ya ahí los médicos no permitieron que entrara.
At that point, the medics wouldn't let the press or the police come into the hospital because they were the ones who had declared me dead that very morning.
It turns out that Daisy suffered from catalepsy, a condition that is characterized by rigid muscles and a lack of response to external stimuli. Daisy went on to become a writer, and she actually won a national award for a short story she wrote about catalepsy. After winning the award, she was invited to go to a book fair in Cuba. This is what happened when she applied for a passport.
They say they can't give me my passport because my last name is French. I had a birth certificate, an ID card, I studied, and everything was normal. But now, They tell me no. It's like erasing my entire past.
Since Daisy applied for a passport, she has been recognized formally by her Dominican father in court and is officially a Dominican citizen. Daisy still has not been able to leave the Dominican Republic. Her visa to come to New York for a book fair was denied. She was going to present her latest work, The Deaths of Daisy Toussaint.
I draw a parallel between the first death, the one by catalepsy, and my second death, my civil death.
Daisy has been lucky. But for others living in the Dominican Republic who don't have her profile, being recognized by the state can be very difficult. The 2013 court ruling received a lot of backlash. And since then, the Dominican government has established a program that allows Haitians who have been living in the DR to apply for residency. According to a report from the AP released in late August, more than 115,000 people have signed up through the program since it launched in early June. But only 275 have met the criteria. Ultimately, nationality isn't just an issue of whether you have papers. It's about how people identify. Aline Gestal, the reporter we heard from earlier, tells me about her experience talking to people in the DR.
Most of the people who have, you know, not been able to get their identity cards or were not able to register, they identify very strongly as Dominican. Juliana Deguise-Pierre, who's one of the very famous cases, you know, when I asked her, do you feel Dominican? She said, I don't feel Dominican, I am Dominican.
Latino USA producer Antonia Cerejido.